Hey, good morning, friends that are joining us online at West Tonka and at Bush Lake. Just a delight to be together with you today. I'm just coming in still on the fumes of an experience last evening. I was part of a 3.5-hour worship experience last night. We have a partner church, Wayman Church in North Minneapolis, and its pastor, dear friend, and blessing to Westwood many times over, Reverend Richard Coleman and First Lady Mary, they're retiring from ministry. And so we were able to come and celebrate. I'm telling you, it was, first of all, 3.5 hours of honor. It was so uplifting. And I just want to encourage you, our service today is not going to be 3.5 hours. Because of the annual meeting, not because of the Vikings game. So we're gonna work through. But I mean, you know, you've heard me. I've got a passion around this. There's too much honor drift in our culture today. We know that. My concern, though, is there's too much honor drift in the Church of Jesus Christ today. And we're trying to bring it back to say, let's be honor people. Let's honor each other, honor one another as we have been called to do over the summer. We had that one another series, an honor one another is what we want to do. So each week we're choosing a segment of our church family and we're honoring them. And my hope is that every week in doing this, as we approach the election where the gravitational pull is less honor, that we would lift honor, that we would be different than everybody else in the society, and that we would just stand out as a perfume and a aroma of goodness, because honor lifts everybody up. So because we're in the fall launch and we just heard at all of our sites that we're focusing on groups and courses and all of that, that let's take a moment and honor the teachers that are part of Westwood. The Sunday school teachers to young kids, the student ministry teachers and small group leaders to students as well as to adults, and anyone who is teaching a course. We're shaping the souls, deepening our understanding of what it means to live in the way of Christ. We're so grateful for teachers, for shepherd pastors, lay people, as well as those that are on the staff who serve in that capacity. So if that be you, you're a teacher of students or kids or small groups or courses, whatever it might be, at Bush Lake or West Tonka, wherever you might be, or even at home in this room, would you stand right now so we could honor you? And just be humbly bold in standing, and we say thank you for serving. Thank you so much for all that you do. Let me invite the rest of you to stand. And what we will do here is each week we're writing a prayer of blessing over them. But I love it when we share together because we're the body of Christ. So let's pray over those teachers in our midst. Join me. God, we ask you to bless all who care for the souls of others, for group leaders, classroom teachers, and soul friends who understand the gift of being truly present. Whether they are in a group, in quiet conversation over coffee, or on a busy playground with a handful of goldfish crackers, we are grateful for all who pour into the hearts of the people they serve. We pray that their passion to know and be with you deepens each day. May they make space for your word to shape them, for your spirit to guide them. May their faithfulness and worship draw many to you. O God of blessing, hear our prayer for these brothers and sisters. Amen and amen. One more time, thank you, teachers, for serving our kids and our students and our adults. We so appreciate you. You may be seated, and we'll jump into our message today. You know, we're entering into the ministry season. We had this two-week window coming out of our One Another series. I open a new series next week called Radiance. And we thought, what do we want to do with these 2 weeks? And we said, you know, let's just elevate the core of who we want to be as a church and who we are as God's people. And that is, we're blessed. And so we thought, let's cover the message last week was, you are blessed by God. And God wants to bless you personally. Do you believe that? Are you receiving the blessing? Do you believe that God wants to bless you? And then today it's that God wants to bless his church. And through the church, he wants to bless you in and through that whole deal. And the purpose for the series, right, strategically put at this inflection point, is we're moving into a new ministry season. And the invitation is, would you please engage? Take a next step. Have a high view of the church. Understand that God changes the world through our gatherings together, not just our individual pursuit of him. So that's the motivation, is to invite you to take a next step. And for some, that might be, you know, a risk feel for you, and that's okay. We just want to invite you to take that next step, take a course, get involved with a group, and move forward with where God is leading. Now, of course, all of this is tethered to this word blessing, this gift that God gives to us, to the Abrahamic covenant, which has served as our purpose from the beginning of Westwood's journey. And it really for the beginning of God's engagement with us as he brings us together in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, and reminds people that he's going to bless them. He blesses Abraham and his descendants, and then through him, the blessing will go to the families of the earth. So in Genesis 11, the families have spread. They're distant. They have no interest in God. And God doesn't give up. He comes back and says, I'm going to make a promise. Do you notice there are two expressions? It's one promise, two expressions. Two expressions of blessing. I'm going to bless you personally. But that little Hebrew preposition through is powerful. Through you, the families of the earth, they're going to come back. They're going to know who I am. And so missiologists call it the top line blessing and the bottom line blessing of God through the Abrahamic covenant. We never want to just be top line blessing people. Bless me, bless me, bless me. That the through is there. It's one promise, two expressions, and through you, the families of the earth will know who God is. How important is that for us to understand that we're blessed to be a blessing? Well, it's the rhythm of life that you find throughout the scriptures. So it's a very, very big deal. And we're so grateful that God gives us that opportunity to be reminded of it, that God is in the business of blessing. He blesses Abraham and his descendants, top line blessing. And through them, the blessing will go to the families of the earth, the Gentiles, which, by the way, most of you are Gentiles. You're non-Jewish people. And that blessing, we're here because it's coming true. The promise is happening. But now, because of Christ coming in, we learn in Galatians that we are descendants of Abraham. So as God blessed Abraham and his descendants, so he blesses us as his church. And through you and the church, the blessings will go to the families of the earth. Just to connect the dots of this meta-narrative, what God is doing in the world, this blessing. So the church is the priority of God's heart to bless you. Are you open to receive it? And then for us to be a blessing to others in our life. So what I want to do today, a little unconventional, I want to talk about the birth date of the church. The birthday of the church. Some of you don't think about a church having the birthday, but the church has a birthday. So I want to talk about the birthday of the church and the birthday gifts that the church received then that are operative for us even today. And it's an amazing thing to consider because we don't naturally think about the church having a birthday. We don't usually sing happy birthday, church, but I think we should. After this message, I think we're going to put it in the calendar. Pastor Clint, can you get it on everybody's calendar? We're going to say happy birthday to church. And I'm going to speak about that. Now, we're naturally inclined to think of our own birthdays. We love our own birthdays. And just out of curiosity, how many of you have September birthdays? Just raise your hand high. And there's a lot of September birthdays. I've noticed that at all of our sites, I trust. How many of you have a birthday today? Anybody with a birthday today? Are you so bold to raise your hand? Okay. All right. None here, maybe out there, it's there. Or no, nobody wants to raise their hand. But we want to say at least to all of those September birthdays, would you join me, everybody, and say happy birthday? Happy birthday to you. We are celebrating you. And some of you just love to celebrate. Some, it's a one-day celebration. For some, it's a whole month deal. I don't quite get that. But my wife is Carrie, she's got a September birthday. She's an all-month kind of girl. I'm not making this up. I mean, every day there's a new card in the mail, and I go, come on. Who's sending you cards in the middle of the month? You're September 3rd. We're still getting birthday cards. She's got girlfriends calling her for lunch and for coffee every day. I go, come on, what's going on? Now, me, on the other hand, December 12th. I'm a one-day kind of guy. Okay. So my birthday comes, and, you know, it's a basketball game, a little dinner with some friends. Done. Over with. That's the way it goes. I'm not bitter about it. I kind of like it, actually, but... The point is, birthdays are big. We love birthdays, and some celebrate it more than others, no doubt about it. But love gets poured out, gifts are given, and it's just a magnificent day. But you realize that your birth date, the date that you were born on, you don't remember it, but it changed everybody around you. It changed everybody around you. And so it is with the birth date of the church. The church has a birth date. And we think of it, the church, as being institutional, but friends, it's so very personal. And it's an amazing gift that God has given. Historians believe that the date is Pentecost, May 30 AD, likely that took place, that the church was actually born on that given day. And of course, love was poured out and gifts were received. And it was magnificent. It was spectacular. It was, in fact, supernatural, far more significant than any birthday candles you lit up. And we find a record of it in Acts chapter 2 concerning the birthday of the church. But let me set it up first. Jesus died. He was buried. He rose again from the dead. Big deal. And then he hangs around and he spends time with his disciples, not just once or twice, but repeatedly over a 40-day window. And he's teaching them about how to live with heaven on earth. Jesus brought heaven to earth so we can live in the way of heaven on earth. And you go, well, I've not been to heaven. How do I know how to live that way? Because of Jesus, when you come to know him, who helps you to know how to live in this given way. And he's instructing them. And then before he ascends into heaven, he says, I'm not leaving you alone. I'm sending the Holy Spirit, who will empower you to know how to live, but also give you the power to do it. We can't do it on our own. And that's where he gives birth to this thing called the church through the power of the Holy Spirit. And we find the account of it in Acts chapter 2. If you want the whole account, it's a very long chapter, so I'm only going to get to give you a few pieces of it. But it's an amazing birth date experience. It's incredible. But take a look at it. It involves several things that are really important, like wind and tongues. And you'll see here, when the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place, and suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting at the time. And you imagine they're in this given place, and so you find the wind comes, and the wind becomes this symbolic or literal presence of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit comes from heaven on earth into this room, filling this room, and it continues. When the day of Pentecost came, they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. The Holy Spirit's in the room, and what seems like tongues of fire, kind of freakish sounding, at least in the given moment, you know, and it comes to rest on each of them. I want you to see here, there's something powerful happening because you got tongues of fire. This is quite a birthday celebration. This is what's happening, if I can put it in the simplest way, that when you receive Jesus Christ as Son of God and Savior of your life, there's a supernatural transition that happens. The Holy Spirit comes to dwell within you. So instead of being in a temple or a place, we become the temple of the living God through the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's what it's speaking of here, when the tongues of fire come and dwell within us. So when you can have a personal relationship with Christ, I struggled with that a long time. How do you have a personal relationship with Christ? Through the Holy Spirit who's in you, who mediates the very person of Jesus in you. And then it continues, and all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Unfortunately, in church history, we've taken this little text and we've just confused churches. There are churches who speak in tongues and those who don't speak in tongues. Can I just tell you, that's not the intent of what this is. That this is the flow of God's global thrust of bringing people together from Jerusalem to all of the families of the earth, all the language people groups, and they're speaking the tongues of the families of the earth in this moment to say, the Lord is taking down barriers. What do? We build barriers. We're barrier builders by nature. We put God in a box. We put people in a box. We're always putting something in a box in power kind of ways. He's always trying to take the barriers down. And he attempted and did this at that time. And he's calling us to live in that place of freedom. And the church gets born. It's so exciting to see what happens. And then Peter follows with this amazing sermon talking about the prophets of the old said this would be the case. Jesus of Nazareth is the Lord. He is the Christ. And he says to those who are present three simple things. He says, oh, repent. That is, change your mind about how you see God. God has revealed himself through Jesus. Let your eyes see God through Jesus Christ. And then believe he is the Son of God and the Savior of your life. And then be baptized as a symbolic gesture of your dead to sin and you're alive in Christ. And they did. Wow, did they do it? The church was born that day, and it's amazing. 3,000 people repented and believed and were baptized. We baptized 77 people a couple of weeks ago. It was cool. 3,000 people in a day? Wow. Extraordinary. And in fact, it was so amazing. They go from 100 people to 3,000 people. By AD 100, they're 20,000 people. By AD 300, they're 20 million people. There's this fast growth of the church. And why is the church so irresistible? Because on that birthday, they received birthday gifts. And the acceleration of those gifts created an irresistible joy that people wanted to be part of. People who had put Jesus on a cross were now being baptized and believing in him as Lord and Savior of their lives. That's the background to this whole thing. Now, I want to take you into the rest of Acts chapter 2, where Luke gives us an account of six birthday gifts that were given to them that made them irresistible. And this is what I envisioned for us. It's operative here. These gifts are operative here. Could they be operative in greater measure? Yeah, they could be. So I'm inviting you to engage in this gift, have a high view, not a low view of church, because it's God's idea, not man's idea. And be part of it. Don't just be on the sidelines. Step in, be part of it, and experience what God intends for us. So what I'd like to do in our remainder time is I want to walk through just briefly each of these six birthday gifts, this love that's poured out, these gifts that are received, and it's so magnificent what gets celebrated. So do you want to join me in that and just see in yourselves, is this where I'm at right now? And if not, oh Lord, let me have a taste of what took place then, because it's operative for us today. So the first birthday gift is simply this, appetite. Let me go back to the verse. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. On that birthday, their appetite changed. The things that they were looking to satisfy them in life weren't satisfying them at all, but now their appetite changed. And it says they devoted themselves. So you come to understand that truth is learned. The way of God is learned. And so you find them in a place where they devote themselves to the disciples' teaching because their appetite is to want to know God's word. And there's no doubt about it. When that happens, it changes everything. I know when I was 18 and I made that step to receive Christ into my life, it was life-giving. No doubt about it. It was life-giving. But when I was 23 and I took that next step to engage in the church for the very first time, wow, did that change my appetite, my understanding? Everything came alive in a different kind of way. And so many of us live a personal, private faith, but God never intended. He wanted us to be part of this greater community, and he invites us into it, that truth is learned. I remember my freshman advisor at university, he said, Joel, and at first, it just kind of took me back a little bit. He said, as you're going through your courses, your advisor helps you select courses. And he says, just want you to know, I'm going to give you this invitation and this challenge. Be a learner for life. And I go, because I was thinking about graduating and being done with that learning thing. He'll be a learner for life. And I go, oh, yeah. Keep the appetite alive and well. And God meets you in it because God is revealing himself through Jesus Christ. And through the Holy Spirit who inspires this word of God, they devoted themselves to the teaching. So I promise you, in our Sunday school classes, in our student ministries, in our small groups, in our services, we're going to this word because this is where God reveals himself. If we want to know God, this is where we go, through faith in Christ. And the Holy Spirit inspires us. So I'm always challenging you. I'm encouraging all the time, open up the word. And if you're not in the world, don't have shame about it. Just start opening it up. Get into it. And it makes all the difference. It changes your appetite for what is good and noble and right. And it just is a beautiful thing to be part of. At the end of the week, I was coming out of Target. And let me just say, I don't usually go to Target, maybe 3 times a year. That's Carrie's beautiful task. I'm not much one going into Target or any other retail facility. I prefer not to, but I had to go. And I'm coming out, and I hear this voice behind me, and it says, Pastor Joel, Pastor Joel. And I turn around, and here comes this young, strapping, 17-year-old study. Look, the guy has to be a jock. I mean, he's just like, wow, okay. And he goes, I've always wanted to meet you and share with you that, man, our family, my life has been so impacted by Westwood. That's a feel-good day. That's a feel-good day. I go, really? First of all, a 17-year-old calling out the name of his pastor, who's just a little bit older than 17. And for him to engage in a conversation, he's been raised well. He entered into that conversation in a very, very respectful way. His mom and dad would have been proud of the conversation that unfolded. So I'm asking about his life. He's involved in one of our high schools here, and he is an athlete. And we got into all of these different conversations. But because he had been transparent with me, I asked him the question, how's your faith? Is it growing? And he said, well, he paused because he's with the pastor. What's he going to say? And he says, it's a little stuck. Oh, I appreciated the honesty. At West Honka at Bush Lake here, raise your hand if you've ever been stuck concerning your faith, just once in your life. Yeah, all of us raise our hands, so we're one with him in that moment. But he was transparent, and I go, I think that was a God moment. Because he was so open, I said, you know, can I give you an encouragement? How about if you tomorrow wake up before you go to school and open up to the Psalms and just read one psalm? Just read one psalm, 5 minutes. Take 5 minutes and read one psalm. If you do that for 21 days, it'll become a habit. If you continue in that habit, you will not be the same young man a year from now that you are today. That's the power of getting into the Word of God. So I sent him a book of Psalms, and I chose one for him. I said, start here and jump into it. And I give that to you. Be in the Word. Your appetite increases. If you go 3 days without eating, it impacts your appetite. Did you know that? You lose an appetite to eat. And the same with Scripture. If you go 3 days without being in the Word of God, those 3 days can become 3 weeks, we can become 3 months, and you just slowly drift away, and you lose the appetite. We have to be in the Word to have the appetite garnered. I need to continue. Birthday gift number two, fellowship. They devoted themselves to apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread. That is, it was a loving community that had been established on that birthday. What an amazing gift. But can I just elevate that? There's a word here that is important. It was a sacred, loving community. You're part of a lot of loving communities, likely. This is a sacred, loving community. In fact, the word here is koinonia, and it means common. What they shared in common because of that birthday that they didn't have before was they had in common this relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ, bounded together by the Holy Spirit, who was meeting him in this place in a sacred community. See, this is, friends, why I say the church is have a high view, because it's a very big deal in the eyes of God who decided to give birth to the church. And he wants us to engage and experience the sacredness of community, because there's nothing like it when we enter into those community experiences. In fact, if you look at the verse following down at the bottom, all the believers were together and had everything in common. Koinonia, again, they have everything in common. We are united together. And when you read the scriptures, there's all kinds of metaphors, five primary ones that speak about the church of Jesus Christ. We are the body of Christ, meaning that we are all members. We are all glued together as the body of Christ. And there's only one head. And to surprise, it's not the Pope, and it's not the priest, and it's not the pastor. It is Jesus Christ and him alone that is the head of the body of Christ. And we get to be connected in that sacred community. Another favorite metaphor is we are the bride of Christ. I go, oh, the beauty of a bride. We're the bride of Christ. What does that say about who we are, how we treat each other, how we in sacred community connect with each other? It says beautiful things about what he wants for us. Let's step into that beauty. You know, as a pastor, you know, I have that great privilege of having this place to look at a wedding when I'm officiating a wedding and the bride's coming down the aisle. Everybody stands, they look at the bride, they take in her beauty. You go to the reception afterwards and the receiving line. You just hang around a receiving line for a half an hour or an hour and listen to what everybody's saying to that bride. And nearly everybody is saying, you are one beautiful bride. You are gorgeous today. You look spectacular. Everybody's complimenting the bride on her beauty. I have never heard in all of my 40 plus years of ministry, anybody say, that is one ugly bride. No, nobody says it. No, not one time has anybody said it. But we are the bride of Christ. But do we speak of the bride of Christ that way? We're so ready to criticize the church and everything that's wrong. Fair enough, there's plenty wrong. But sometimes at the expense of her beauty. Oh, be careful what comes out of your mouth concerning other churches, how you view them, how you think of them. in that beautiful tapestry of what God has created in the church, it looks in a lot of different shapes and sizes, just like a bride at a wedding does. And she's beautiful. You get the picture of the high view that he has, that he's inviting us to step into. And then there's a third birthday gift that I want to call to, and that's intimacy. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Becomes almost perfunctory to us, doesn't it? It's so common. Yeah, prayer. We say it all the time. Prayer is our way forward. But it's not a cliche for us. We really mean it. Did you know in our different sites this morning, we've had people praying. Before you arrived, you were having breakfast, you're doing whatever you're doing. There were people on this campus, walking this campus and praying for you through these seats for you to just experience the love of God today. It's our way forward. After the service, there's prayer available at all of our sites. And if you need prayer for anything, come down and receive it, because that's part of what God intends for us to enjoy with each other. Prayer, it's a beautiful thing. We get to pray for the little things, the big things, and all things he calls us to. And when we pray in the way of Jesus, it expands the blessing that is given to us, the elevated presence of the Lord, which is the foundational definition of what that blessing, barak, means, is we just know that he is with us. But then there's all these other beautiful benefits that come as well. And Jesus taught us in Matthew 6:6, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. He's talking about private prayer. And then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you, will expand that blessing. There's something when your only motivation isn't anything to do with anybody around you, just the privacy and the discipline of your own heart to say, oh, I want to be, oh, it's the intimacy of having conversation, just like you may have with a best friend or a spouse or a child. We get to have with Abba, Daddy, Father in heaven. And it happens. It's nurtured in that private place. Does that mean we should not pray together in a collective sense? Absolutely, we're called to do that. We're instructed. Even when Jesus taught us to pray the Lord's Prayer, he follows it by saying, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am with them. That his presence gets magnified. His provision gets magnified when we come together. So we do both private and public prayer. So I want to invite you to pray for something significant happening for our community of faith this week, Tuesday evening. The Hope House, and for those that might be guests, we have a home on the property here in Chanhassen that shelters kids in crisis 14 through 18 years of age. Been doing it for some number of years, and it's a need greater than you'd ever imagine. We turned away almost 200 kids last year, and we're the only shelter in the southwest suburbs. You have to go into Hennepin County otherwise. And I love that our church is part of this, but we are doing an expansion initiative. So do you want to celebrate something with me? The $2.2 million needed for the building construction has been raised in totality. And we give thanks to God for that. We give thanks to God for that. So, there's no debt. We aren't going to be adding any of that. But we're at the two-yard line, if I can use a football analogy, and ready to go into the end zone. But Tuesday night, it goes to the Planning Commission. Final check off there. The Monday that follows, it goes to the City Council. Will you just pray that we get into the end zone? Not so that a building gets built, but more kids find shelter and love and dignity and hope. And I'm so grateful that we have stepped into that prayer call. And it actually feeds this next birthday gift that we received. It flows out of generosity. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. That word of giving has that same koinos, koinonia. They had everything in common. It also is the word for generosity. It's a bridge here. They sold property. So I must be bold. I think you should sell your home and give it to the work of the Lord. Wow, you're really quiet. Jesus doesn't say that you have to go sell all your possessions. But some in their midst just did that, you know. You can still own private property. It's all good. Oh, but live with open-handedness. That's the call that you have. Be generous, knowing this is what happened on that birthday. They moved from being self-centered to being other-centered. They moved from being a place, come and meet my need, to go, how can I meet that need? And I'm just going to tell you, when I see, and I'll be transparent on this, one of the things that just brings me joy about our church is to be an outer ring suburban church. At least in the Chanhassen campus and West Tonka, we have a more urban core when we're over at Bush Lake. But when I think about being out in Chanhassen, and for you to say yes, that we will provide a shelter for kids in crisis 14 through 18, because it's messy and you have said yes. Just, why would you do that? Because you've had a birthday, a spiritual birthday, and your eyes see needs, and your hands want to meet those needs. And I'm just so very grateful for a congregation that has stepped into that given place. So thank you for your generosity, but will you also pray Tuesday and the Monday following, and we'll give you an update on that progress as it's being made. It's generosity. Let's stand in awe of that. Just two more briefly. The next one is worship. We find this beautiful gift given on that birthday. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all people. It's amazing. I mean, they were afraid for their lives not too many hours before this. And now they're enjoying the favor of all people. Boy, that's a birthday celebration that changed the narrative completely. And when you read this, you see some things about their worship. It was joyful and reverent. We find that it was also not once a week, in a gathering like this, but every day. Worship is a daily experience. Roll out of bed in the morning, give thanks to God that you're alive. Begin your day in a simple act of worship, because otherwise it can quickly drift and you think your life is about you and it's about him altogether. We see that it's informal and formal, that it happened in the intimacy of their home, around the dinner table, but also in the temple court and places. That worship is about not about inspiration, it's about transformation. We're not coming just to be inspired and just to cheer each other up. It's about our lives being transformed from the inside out. It's the worship of the living God that moves the needle of our souls to want to see that change that happens. And it also, worship is, and it is well with my soul experience. You know that old hymn? It is well with my soul. Do you find that to be true when we come to worship? Maybe today you felt that. You maybe had some agitated children, a three-year-old or something, or an agitated spouse. Nothing too personal here, but it can happen. We come from difficult places, but you come into worship and it's like his love just quiets us, settles us. What's most important becomes most important. And we worship the living God, and there's nothing like it. There's nothing like that worship experience. And it's not just in song. It's in the learning of God's word. It's in the invitation into community that we get to be part of this beautiful journey. I think about this in my own life, my own birthday. Did I say it was December 12th? I like a quiet birthday, so I'm a one-day guy. On my birthday, for the last, I don't know, dozen years, my kids asked me the same question. Dad, what do you want? What kind of things could you benefit from? They said, you're the hardest guy to buy for. It's because I don't want things. So I've been answering them the same every year. I said, you know what would make me just so thrilled on my birthday? Would you come and worship with me at Westwood on Sunday? And I don't know what it is. And I'll get surprised about this today, but when you have your kids stand with you and worship, there's nothing like it. There's no greater gift. So this week I'm thinking, why am I so choked up about this? I've been choked up all week about this, the thought of that whole thing. It's because that moment with my child, it's eternal. That's what makes it different. It's not just a birthday and a gift to open or lunch to go have or golf game to go play, all fun things. But worship is eternal. And we're cultivating on earth today what is our joy for all eternity. And that's why those moments are there. Yeah, invite your kids to come and worship and be with you, not just on your birthday, but other times as well. I'm sorry about that. I just didn't, it's been that way all morning for me, but I need to keep going. I just love the church, and I want you to love the church. I want you to have a high view of the church, not a low view of the church. He is worthy of our worship, which is taking us to the last gift, which is witness. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. He just, wow, what? So their appetite changed. Instead of hiding in that room, fearful for their lives, all of a sudden they're going out and proclaiming because they want others to share in the witness, or in the story, God's story. And that was the case for me. My theme verse, Romans 1:16, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It is the power of God for salvation to all who believe. It is the gift of God. It is the blessing of God. It's not meant for me alone. It's meant to be shared. There are people in your neighborhood. There are people, colleagues that you're working with right now who are longing to know that Jesus is not dead, that he's alive. find a way in gentleness, in beauty, to bring the aroma of the presence of Jesus and invite them to be with you in the journey of God's story. So let me wrap up. I've got to be done here. The church had a birthday and had birthday gifts. And those birthday gifts are just extraordinary. Their appetites changed for what is good and noble and right. They had a hunger for God and his word. They had fellowship, but it wasn't just hanging around with people that you loved. It was sacred. There's a mystery to what we share together in it. So that's why we have such a high view of the church. And then you go beyond all of that and we find that they had intimacy, that they had a devotion to prayer that knitted them together through the presence of the Holy Spirit. They were generous beyond measure. They lived with open hands. They cared for others unlike they had ever cared before. What a gift to the world that has become. Oh, and then they worship God with heart, soul, mind, and strength. Not perfunctory, not out of duty, not ceremonially, but with a heartfelt call in their lives. And then they couldn't keep it in. They had to tell others, Jesus Christ is not dead. He's alive. And we get to be the church. So can I just say, friends, would you take a next step? You know, you might not know how to do it. It feels like a risk. We'll help you. We'll help you. But your best chapter is still ahead if you have yet to step in. And let's do it together and be the church of Christ. And as we do, would you just join me in prayer? Father God, thank you for this gift called the church. I know we've abused it. We have not always stewarded it well. We have not always honored you and how we've lived in it, but we want to. So come through the power of the Holy Spirit to give us what we need to be your church that is a beacon of light, that is an aroma that seeks to honor you and honor one another so that it becomes irresistible. And in the contentious nature of the world in which we live, even the families in which we dwell, settle our hearts with your love, that we might honor you. And in so doing, let that honor be shared with people who are just longing and starving for the goodness of God, who God giving us Jesus, who is not dead. You are alive. And we praise you and we worship you and we are grateful and privileged to be your church. We're not ashamed of it. We stand with you today and always in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.